is a time that we all want to reflect upon our lives, what's going on in our heads and in our hearts. And as I was thinking about this last message of Lent, and by the way, we're having a Good Friday service, and it's going to be probably different than any other Good Friday service that you've had. Again, more change. I'm going to be showing a few video clips, and we're going to be having communion together. I'm not going to preach a sermon. I'm going to have a few things to say, but it's going to be a short service, probably a shorter service, I should say. And we're going to meet at 6 o'clock so that y'all can get home hopefully before dark. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I don't even like to drive in the dark anymore. So we're going to try to get you home even before dark. Then Easter Sunday, sunrise. Carolyn and Bill, are you going to be ready for us? Okay. We're going to meet out at Carolyn and Bill's house and probably around their pond, I think, right? And we're going to have a glorious time together as we celebrate the sun coming up and Resurrection Sunday. And then, of course, our Easter services as well. And then we're going to have an Easter breakfast at 8 o'clock. Ron, you're all set for that, right? Okay, and anybody that wants to come out and help Ron and Jerry, they would greatly appreciate it. So as we are considering the Lenten season, I thought about the betrayal of Jesus. And when I was reading the betrayal of Jesus, I'm there, well, you know, a lot of times when we read the scripture, we kind of say, well, you know, Judas was one, he was a bad apple, right? He was one of those disciples that we don't really want to talk a whole lot about. We know from the scripture that Satan came into him, the scriptures say, and caused him to do what he did. And so how does that relate to us, especially during this Lenten season? What can we learn from Judas, of all people? What can we learn? I think there's a number of things that we can learn. First of all, the definition of betrayal is to deliver or expose to an enemy by treachery or disloyalty. And as we just read the scriptures, Judas prepared those that were going to seize Jesus by saying, the one that I will kiss is the one that you need to arrest. Now think about that. He was about to betray Jesus, and he's talking about kissing Jesus. You talk about, you know, weird, right? Or an irony. But that's what Judas did. Definitely to expose to an enemy by treachery or disloyalty, a betrayal for sure. Now, what existed in Judas' heart that caused such a betrayal? What do you think are some of the things that existed in Judas' heart, do you think, that caused him to come up with such an evil scheme? One of the 12. What do you think was in his heart? Now, you know a lot about the 12. And Judas being one of those, what do you think was in his heart?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. I'm going to say definitely, yeah. Anyone else have any ideas?
Disappointment.
Disappointment. Yeah. Anything else?
Greed.
Greed, okay. What about the love of money, right? The silver that he betrayed Jesus for. And, you know, we think, well, he wanted to get richer. But actually, the amount of silver that he was given was considered very, very few, or very little, I should say, very few pieces of silver in that day. He wasn't going to get rich by any means. But, and again, when we think of money, You know, I've heard many say the money is the root of all evil. That's not really true. The love of money is the root of all evil. And certainly this was true, I think, in Judas's heart as well. It was all about money and the love of money. And I hope, now anybody here love money? Well, I won't ask you to raise your hand, right? But sometimes we live our lives as if money were everything. And the older we get, correct me if I'm wrong, those of you that are my age or somewhere around my age, right? The older we get, does money mean what it did when we were in our 20s and 30s? Not really, no. What means something?
Health.
Health, right? And relationships. And I always say that there's nothing more spiritual in all of this world than our relationships. Our relationships with God and our relationships with our spouses, our relationships with our friends and family. It's all about relationships, for sure. Not about money. Disillusionment. Bruce talked about this morning, Palm Sunday, and the triumphal entry of Jesus. And it is quite an irony, isn't it? Right? They're all celebrating him and hailing him as the king. And then all of a sudden, what happened? Right? A week later, or thereabouts. Disillusionment. Are we ever disillusionment? I don't know how many of you, but many times when I hear about being a Christian, the message that we give or the witness that we give, oh, when you become a Christian, your life is full of joy and happiness and wow, right? And then what happens? You know, illness occurs or tragedy. Deb and I were shocked this week with the news of her brother. And you talk about a godly man. And he called us and said, I've got some news. I've got stage 4 cancer. And he's what, 56? 57, you know? Disillusionment. Why? Why, God, right? We're disillusioned. We think about Judas, and we think about him being so evil. But are we ever disillusioned? Right? Jealousy. There you go, surely. I'm sure because he was not the focus of attention by Jesus, according to the scriptures. And so, yeah, definitely jealous. Why can't I be like Peter? Well, we find out that Peter wasn't always the stalwart as well. As we know, Peter denied Jesus. But jealousy, bitterness. Have any of us ever been bitter? How many of us, maybe even right now as we sit, are we bitter about something that's happened in our lives? Or when somebody has sinned against us, are we bitter? Bitterness can destroy us and cause us to act in a way just like Judas. Frustration. Now, how many of you ever been frustrated? Joe's the only one that's going to raise his hand. Come on, brothers, right? I mean, right? We all have been frustrated. And I always say, as a counselor, I worked a lot with anger and rage and issues like that. And boy, oh boy, I had one client that said, I counseled it with him for 2 years. And finally he got to, and I said early on, I said, well, you're just an angry man. Oh, I'm not angry. And I said, oh, really? No, I'm just frustrated, he said. And then finally, after about 2 years, you know, he came to the conclusion that he was an angry man. And he said, why couldn't I have come in 2 years ago and just said that I was angry? But it was a process. And it starts with frustration and or disappointment, Joe, right? Disappointment also is a nuance of anger. That's kind of where anger begins, when we get disappointed with something or expectations, as Bruce talked about. We expect certain things to occur, certain things to happen, and they don't. And what happens? Well, we get disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed with your spouse? We'll ignore that comment that came from my wife. But Joe, just for the record, Bonnie shook her head yes. So, you know. Or have we ever been frustrated with our spouse, right? Of course. And we need to always be, I know this is the season of Lent, but you know, we always need to be examining our hearts. That's why we have communion the first Sunday of every month. Because it's a time when the Apostle Paul says, let a man examine his heart. Man or woman, examine his heart. We need to be constantly involved in introspection. What's going on inside of us? And many, many times, we look at ourselves and we say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I haven't committed adultery, or I haven't stole, or I haven't, whatever it might be, lied, or. But you know, many, many times we harbor these things like frustration or disappointment in our lives. And what does the Bible say about anger? Don't let the sun go down what? While you're still angry. That's why it's important each and every day to examine our hearts. And is there anything in, because if you're disappointed with your spouse or you're frustrated with your spouse and you don't really forgive and you go to bed with that, the mind works even when you're sleeping, right? And if you're not dealing with it in a way that is daily, it can lead to bitterness. And it can lead to anger, hurt, right? All of those kinds of things. Now, when you look at that list, was Judas an evil man? Doesn't look it according to that list, does it? Right? Because that's something that can be in all of our hearts in one way or another. Now, from where do such things come from? Well, the scriptures say in Luke 22:3 that Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. Now, just as real as Jesus is, as the Holy Spirit is in our life, you do realize that the evil one is just as real. Do you realize that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But how many of us really think that on a daily basis, the evil one is out to attack us, to destroy us in one way or another? And one of the ways that the evil one does that is through disappointment, frustration, anger, disillusionment, the love of money. That's how he works, in a very, very subtle way. Very, very subtle way. And many times I think that because these things are so subtle that we really don't deal with these. But they come straight from the pit of hell. And they are the way that Satan, you know, creeps into our lives. Now, as I said, this is the way that betrayal is defined, but it can also mean a number of other things. And I looked these things up. And one of the other things, many other definitions, one of them is to disappoint the hopes or expectations of, be disloyal, to betray one's friends. Bruce, you talked about expectations, right? But the disappointment of hopes, expectation, can even be betrayal. You understand what that means? To be disappointed or to expect something of somebody and they don't follow through. Well, then I'm going in this direction, and you know what? I'm never going to forgive that person because they disappointed me, right? Or they didn't meet my expectations. See? That's a form of betrayal in a very real sense. Here's another thing that betrayal means: to be unfaithful in guarding, maintaining, or fulfilling. And when I read this definition, I thought about marriage, right? And from my understanding of God's word, God holds we males responsible for what happens in our marriage. And how many times do we drop the ball when it comes to being faithful in guarding our relationship, guarding our marriage, or maintaining our marriage in a way that reflects who God is in our marriage and in our hearts? And really, it's a betrayal of trust when we do that. When we're, I should say, not doing that. To reveal or disclose in violation of confidence. Anybody here ever betray a confidence? Happens all the time. And it undermines, again, trust. And it's a form of betrayal. Have you ever told someone in confidence something, and you found out later that they shared that with someone? What do you feel? Yeah, you feel betrayed, don't you? Hey. To deceive, misguide, or corrupt, to seduce, or desert. All forms of betrayal. Now, truth is, there's a bit of Judas in all of us. How many would agree with that? Yeah, every hand ought to go up. Okay? And we need to, again, learn from the scriptures, learn from even some a disciple like Judas. There's something to learn. And are we going to learn it? If we learn it, we're going to be practicing it. Okay? Now, here's the question. Have we betrayed Jesus and others in our own lives? You know, as I interact with people, and I'm sure that you interact with people, and I invite people to church and invite people to talk about Jesus, and many times, you know, people would say, well, I believe in God. Or, you know, and isn't it interesting that Easter is a time when even people that don't go to church any other time of the year, they come on Easter Sunday. Isn't that interesting? And you know, I believe in God, but they're not faithful. They're not faithful disciples of God. They're not faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? Well, I'll show up maybe once a year, or twice a year. We'll throw in Christmas there, right? And, you know, if we trust Jesus, if we're a disciple of Jesus, then we need to be faithful. Faithful in attending church, faithful in our walk with the Lord, faithful in examining our hearts each and every day. If we're not doing that, you tell me. Are we betraying Jesus or not? And others in our own lives. I have always known you to be a church of love, right? And if we love one another, are we going to be betraying one another? If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, are we going to be betraying one another? Think about it. Think about it. Okay? Are we going to betray a friendship? Are we going to betray a sister or brother in Christ? By how we act, the things we say, the things we do, the things we think, and even sometimes the way we feel. Now, feelings are neither right or wrong. We feel what we feel. But you know something? We have a choice over what we feel, and we have a choice over what we're going to continue to feel. We have choice over our feelings. Now, they're neither right or wrong necessarily, but we do have choices. And are we making choices, godly choices, that are faithful, faithful to each other as members in the congregation, faithful as husbands and wives, faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Lenten season is a serious time of year for us to look honestly into our hearts. And what better time than now to admit and turn from betrayal in our own lives? So as I close this morning, that's the question I want to leave with you. And you know one thing about, I was talking to Bruce yesterday, and I said, you know, I'm going to miss preaching every Sunday. I'm going to miss it. And you know why? Because when I'm preaching, I have to really get into the Word. And I have to research and I have to apply, you know, whatever it is that I'm speaking to you about on a Sunday morning. And you know, that's been enormously good for me. I can't even tell you how good it is for me to do that. And you know, we need to be reading God's Word, and we need to be applying God's Word. And not just, you know, well, I believe in Jesus, or yeah, I go to church, but applying God's Word to our lives. And that's the challenge here this morning. Are we going to admit the things in our lives? And admit means to confess in a very real sense. These things have no place in my life. I want to deal with them, and I want to turn away from them. If they're here, and even my feelings, right? Because you know, a lot of times our actions are governed by how we feel, you know. And I don't know how many times I hear, well, I feel this. And so, you know, this has to happen. Really? Where in the Bible do you see that God says, make decisions according to the way you feel? I don't know about you, but how many wanted to get up this morning? Right? Many times. Okay. You guys are so spiritual. Right? But, you know, there are many times I don't feel like getting up in the morning. So does that mean I don't get up because I don't feel like getting up? No. Understand, we make decisions all the time based on what we need to be doing, not according to how we feel. Okay? So this Lenten season, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with what's going on in our heart. And even be dealing on a level with, you know, hey, I'm disappointed with my wife, or I'm disappointed with my husband, or I'm disappointed with my child, whatever it might be. And confess it and deal with it so that you can have a clean heart, a heart that is always, and there's nothing I always talk about. What do I talk about when I talk about clean? I talk about Deb doing wash every day. Because she does, right? And it's nothing greater than being clean, is it? Huh? Being clean vessels. So let's pray this morning, and I'm going to ask you just to look at your hearts as I look at mine. Because like I say, when I preach, I have to apply all of this before I even bring it on Sunday morning. So let's bow our heads right now and just take a moment and pray silently and say, you know, God, there's some things here that I need to take a look at. Father, I pray in the silence of this moment that you will be working with us deep within our hearts, and that we might confess the things that need to be brought to light so that we do not enter into sinful behavior that would cause us to act in a way that would not bring glory to you in any way, shape, or form. Again, we thank you for this time this morning and for speaking to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.